Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who comprises our heavenly family? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue our look at the church manual titled Gospel Principles, the 2009 edition. It is meant to teach members the basic doctrines of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we look at Chapter 2, titled Our Heavenly Family.
The subheading of the beginning says, "We are children of our Heavenly Father." Question: what do scriptures and Latter-day prophets teach us about our relationship to God? Answer: God is not only our ruler and creator, He is also our Heavenly Father. All men and women are literally the sons and daughters of God. And then it quotes from Joseph F. Smith in the Teachings of Presence of the Church from 1998 as saying, "Man as a spirit was begotten and born of heavenly parents and reared to maturity in the eternal mansions of the Father prior to coming upon the earth in a temporal or physical body."
When it talks about all men and women being literally the sons and daughters of God, it doesn't tell you the mechanics of how that happens. But eternal sex is very much a portion of Mormon doctrine. Mormons do believe that if they have the ability to become a god, that they are also going to have the ability to procreate. It's called eternal increase. And that's how Mormonism explains how we were created in the preexistence, through this physical relationship between God the Father, has a body of flesh and bones, with His heavenly wife or wives, depending on what position you hold as a Latter-day Saint.
It goes on and says, "Every person who was ever born on earth is our spirit brother or sister."
Let me stop you there, because it only talks about every person who was ever born on earth being our spirit brother and sister. Aren't they leaving some out in that statement?
Yes, at the Grand Council, there were a lot more. There were one-third more, and they did not obey God by following Jesus.
According to Joseph F. Merrill in a conference report, and this is found in April 1941, page 49, Joseph F. Merrill, who was a Mormon apostle, said, "According to our teachings, Satan and an army of supporters were cast down to earth from the pre-mortal spirit world. They are spirit brothers of ours and are real persons having spirit bodies." That isn't mentioned in this chapter. You would think that if this comprised one-third of God's offspring, that's pretty significant, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
why aren't they mentioned? Why are they ignored? If they are, in fact, our spirit brothers and sisters who were cast out for disobedience, doesn't that also tend to undermine the thinking of a lot of Latter-day Saints that, well, I'm a child of God. God would never punish me with some kind of eternal punishment. But yet we find He most certainly punished these spirit children of His. These spirit brothers and sisters who were cast out will never have an opportunity to get back into the presence of Heavenly Father again, according to Mormon teaching.
And for what? One sin caused them not to be able to come to this earth.
And if you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this, ask yourself, how many sins have you committed? Probably far more than those spirit brothers and sisters who were cast out in the pre-existent world.
It goes on and says, "Because we are the spirit children of God, we have inherited the potential to develop His divine qualities. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can become like our Heavenly Father and receive a fullness of joy."
There's that phrase again, "we can become like our Heavenly Father." And you have to remember, in the context of Mormonism, this is talking about exaltation or godhood, not necessarily becoming a moral being like God, but actually taking on the attributes of God Himself, a teaching that Christians do not believe.
Page 10 continues and says, "We were not all alike in heaven. We know, for example, that we were sons and daughters of heavenly parents, males and females." And it takes you to an Ensign article from November of 1995. "We possessed different talents and abilities, and we were called to do different things on earth. We can learn more about our eternal possibilities when we receive our patriarchal blessings, and that's from Thomas S. Monson in Conference Report from October 1986, page 82.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because when it talks about in the pre-existence, we possessed different talents and abilities, and we were called to do different things on earth. It talks about this ability before we took on human bodies to better ourselves in this pre-existent state. One thing you're going to find about Mormonism, it's all about merit. It's all about merit. Even where we are on this earth is all the result of what we did previous to coming to this earth. The next paragraph, I think, is interesting when it talks about the veil.
It says, a veil covers our memories of our premortal life, but our Father in heaven knows who we are and what we did before we came here. He has chosen the time and place for each of us to be born so we can learn the lessons we personally need and do the most good with our individual talents and personalities.
He has chosen the time and place for each of us to be born so we can learn the lessons we personally need and do the most good with our individual talents and personalities. That reminds me of a statement that was made by a BYU professor by the name of Terry Ball. He gave a talk at BYU on March 11, 2008, and this is what he said. Have you ever wondered why you were born, where and when you were born? Why you were not born 500 years ago in some primitive aboriginal culture in some isolated corner of the world? Is the timing and placing of your birth capricious? For Latter-day Saints, the answer is no. Fundamental to our faith is the understanding that before we came to this earth, we lived in a premortal existence with a loving Heavenly Father. We further understand that in that premortal state, we had agency. What Terry Ball goes on to talk about is exactly what we've been reading in this manual. What we did in the pre-existence actually determines not only the time when we would be born, but it would also determine where we would be born. Now, isn't it interesting that Terry Ball brings up why you were not born 500 years ago in some primitive aboriginal culture? It's almost like Terry Ball still has in him some of those old teachings of Mormonism that certainly taught that there were certain people in the pre-existence, certain children of God in the pre-existence, who were not as valiant as they could be, and because they were not as valiant as they could be, were born in a lower caste or a lower class of human being. What does Joseph Fielding Smith say about that?
He says in The Way to Perfection, a book he wrote, page 48, is it not a reasonable belief that the Lord would select the choice spirits to come through the better grades of nations? Moreover, is it not reasonable to believe that less worthy spirits would come through less favored lineage? Does this not account in very large part for the various grades of color and degree of intelligence we find in the earth?
Now, obviously, The Way to Perfection was written before 1978 when the Mormon Church reversed its position on whether or not blacks could hold the priesthood. But certainly what Joseph Fielding Smith is referring to, and I think perhaps even Terry Ball was referring to, was this teaching that your pre-existent state had something to do with how you were stationed in your mortality. That certainly is not something that we as Christians believe, but yet when they talk about, well, he's a loving Heavenly Father, and they do say we are not all alike in heaven, and that certainly seems to be the case with what Joseph Fielding Smith is saying in that quote that you just read, but it talks about how the Lord would select the choice spirits to come through the better grades of nations. That sounds a little racist, doesn't it?
It does.
And then, moreover, is it not reasonable to believe that less worthy spirits would come through less favored lineage? As a Christian, should we think of another race as a less favored lineage? Of course not. We shouldn't. But yet, that's exactly what seems to be taught in this particular statement by Joseph Fielding Smith that's taken out of page 48 in The Way to Perfection. And I believe this is where the idea that blacks would not allow to hold the priesthood came from.
We don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but let me just read one quote from the Sermons and Missionary Services of Melvin J. Ballard on page 248. He was an apostle of the church. He said, "Why is it in this church we do not grant the priesthood to the Negroes? It is alleged that the prophet Joseph said, and I have no reason to dispute it, that it is because of some act committed by them before they came into this life. It is alleged that they were neutral, standing neither for Christ nor the devil. But I am convinced it is because of some things they did before they came into this life that they have been denied the privilege. The races of today are very largely reaping the consequences of a previous life.
Now, that statement by Melvin J. Ballard seems to fit perfectly hand in glove with what Joseph Fielding Smith said. See, it all made perfect sense before 1978, but then after 1978, when they had to reverse that position, they had to do some backtracking on this. And now, of course, as we know, the Mormon Church acts as if they have no idea why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood. This chapter goes on to talk about a grand council in heaven.
It says on page 11 at the top, our Heavenly Father called a grand council to present his plan for our progression. And they quote from Teachings of Presence of the Church, Joseph Smith, page 209 and page 511. We learn that if we followed his plan, we would become like him.
There's that phrase again.
We would be resurrected. We would have all power in heaven and on earth. We would become heavenly parents and have spirit children just as he does.
So in other words, what Mormons hope to do is to merely repeat a process that they believe has been going on since eternity past. Their Heavenly Father is really done nothing different than what the Heavenly Father that preceded him, or the Heavenly Father that preceded that Heavenly Father, what we would call an infinite regression of gods. It was at this grand council that, of course, Jesus was chosen to become the Savior of mankind. And because he was chosen to become the Savior of mankind, a jealousy arose in his spirit brother, Lucifer, our spirit brother, Lucifer, if Mormonism is true, and he decided to rebel against Heavenly Father and decided to convince a lot of God's spirit children to follow him in that rebellion. As a result of that rebellion, he will be banished to outer darkness. And all those who followed him would be banished to outer darkness as well. Those, of course, those spirit children, of course, that followed him are known in Mormon theology as the demons.
One other thing that's said here is it talks about a veil that would cover our memories and we would forget our heavenly home. That would be necessary so we could exercise our agency to choose good or evil without being influenced by the memory of living with our Heavenly Father. And there they're answering the potential convert's question, why don't I remember any of this?
Exactly. That would be the excuse. Not only do we have a veil over us, but actually another Mormon leader that I know of actually said that Jesus also had a veil covering his memory of the preexistence also. And in our next broadcast, we're going to be looking at Chapter 3, Jesus Christ, our chosen leader and Savior.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to learn more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Then please listen, because on Saturday, February 7th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 1, in West Jordan, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes information on the Book of Mormon, the nature of the Godhead, and how the LDS version of salvation compares with the Bible. Now again, it all takes place on February 7th. At Jordan Presbyterian Church, located at 3671 Old Bingham Highway in West Jordan. Everyone who comes will receive a complimentary copy of the notes, and refreshments will also be served. If you'd like more information, please go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. No doubt, you won't want to miss this excellent opportunity to better understand the Mormon religion. We hope to see you there.